Our scripture passage for this morning comes from the 11th chapter of Isaiah. This is a passage that will probably sound familiar. You've probably heard the phrases in here before. And in it, Isaiah describes the peaceable kingdom. Listen to its words. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, and leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. These are the words of God, and they are for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I have to admit that as I was reading and preparing for the sermon today, I fell victim to it again. The problem that all of us have is we have our English organized Bibles that we read from. And if you read online, they're even more organized, and they have little links that will go to the internet sites that'll give you articles about what each passage means. And before you know it, you've lost the context of the scripture that you're reading from, and you're focused only on the words that are in front of you instead of the broader context and the broader meaning in which those words are given. But as we have said before, those who wrote the books that we read in the Bible didn't write them with chapters in mind, didn't write them with lectionary passages in mind. They wrote them as part of a bigger, broader story, bigger, broader words about God than what we have reduced down to our chapters. And so if we look at the chapter that came before chapter 11, chapter 10, in case you were wondering, you find a passage in which God's anger is kindled against the people of Israel. Kindled in such a strong and powerful way that he has brought on the Assyrians to attack and to take down and destroy the Israelites. And there's a passage that is so brutal in there. He says that the rod that is in their hands is God's fury itself. It's as if the Assyrians themselves had no take and no part in the story of God's punishment of Israel, but God was channeling through the Assyrians in order to take down the Israelites and their haughtiness and their faithlessness and their pride. Such a strong passage of Scripture. But no sooner in chapter 10 has God said that his rod would be on the Assyrians and that the bats that they came at the Israelites with were his fury, then God said, if you'll just put up with my indignity for a while, then I will create a remnant. I will create a remnant. If you can just hold on and be patient, Israel, with judgment that you are going to go through, then there will be a time that will come in which the remnant will be established. And so it is this cycle that is formed in Isaiah 10 that's so important for us to be able to understand chapter 11 and the words that we just read from the scripture, because it creates a cycle in which the Assyrians, thinking that they are the ones who have the strength, that they are the ones who have the righteousness, that they are the ones who have the power, that once they overtake the Israelites, it is then their job to subdue the Israelites, and the utter destruction that they create in their path is what makes God angry. And so this back and forth of destruction and battle and violence is brought up in Isaiah 10. And so it is that we, at the end of chapter 10, that all of these big, giant, proud trees are cut to the ground. The proud trees of our nations are cut to the ground. We see that take place in the world in which we live, don't we? We see people become emboldened, whether it's on the political landscape or whether it's on, in our own personal lives, the struggles and the pendulum swings that we seem to live our lives on. We swing so far one way, and then the response back is so strong that it utterly destroys what was before. And before we know it, we look out and there is all of this destruction all around. The end of chapter 10, the mighty trees of Lebanon have been cut down, and all of the lands that are around have been laid in utter waste because of the violence. But into that violence comes chapter 11. Into that violence and that destruction comes chapter 11. In which out of the stump of Jesse. Now, you need to know that this isn't a stump that's mostly dead. If you ever watch The Princess Bride, there's a scene in the movie in which one of the characters has died, and they take him to a healer, and the healer looks at him and says, "He's not dead, he's just mostly dead." This is not a stump that is mostly dead. A stump, when it is cut completely out at the bottom, it is dead, it is done, it is over with. You might have little inklings that might come up, but they don't have any strength in them anymore. But this passage says that up out of that stump, out of that death, and out of that destruction, a shoot will come up. That shoot will come up. And it's not going to play by the rules of the trees that have gone before. It's not going to play by the rules of, "You have hurt me, I must hurt you back." It's not going to play by the rules of "You have sinned, and there is now this punishment that must come along, and you have hurt me, and you've hurt my family, and now I've got to hurt you and hurt your family." And this back and forth that the rules had established, this root of Jesse will not play by them. Because God says through Isaiah, God's Spirit will be over that shoot. God's Spirit of righteousness, God's Spirit of peace will be over that shoot. What a beautiful image. Because in a world when all that we live by is the back and forth and the crime and the punishment and the crime and the punishment and the back and forth of life that we live life by, I don't like it when somebody cuts me off in traffic. And their wrong must be dealt with. My children don't like it when they're pushed and nudged. And that push and that nudge must be responded to with another push and a nudge. I don't like it when my team loses. And I want another shot. But that's not how life works when it moves forward. When we get caught into the cycle of vengeance and the cycle of anger and the cycle of crime and punishment, we find that nothing works and nothing is advanced in God's kingdom. So there must be another way. Now, as Christians, we look at this passage and we look at the life of Jesus as that shoot that grew up out of the stump of Jesse. I don't think the writer, when he wrote, said at 1.7 centuries in the future, there will be a Jesus that will come along. But he knew that the violence and the cycle of violence could not continue. But in Jesus, we have a person who gives voice to another way, who gives flesh to God's righteousness and justice in the world. In Jesus, we have one who fulfills all of the things that are talked about in this passage in Isaiah, who fulfills and lives out the peaceable kingdom. That's the one that we're longing for. That's the one that we're waiting for and longing for and hoping for in our world. We don't have to live by that, you've done this to me, I've got to do something back. We don't have to live by that anymore. Jesus could have called on the armies of the Lord. He chose the cross. The one who is to come, the one whom we long for, could have chosen vengeance upon all of God's people, but he didn't. He chose the cross. He chose another way, a way of sacrifice. That's why I love the image of these polar opposites playing with each other and eating with each other and lying with each other. The wolf lying down with the lamb and the leopard laying down with the kid and the child playing over the hole of the asp. Because in each of those moments, for each of them to be able to occur, something of sacrifice must take place. A lion must give up its nature to lay down with a lamb. A wolf must give up its nature in order to lay down with a lamb, in order for the leopard and the kid to lay down with each other. Somebody must give up their nature. But you know what else? The lamb has to give up their fear of living with a wolf around. The child must give up its fear of the snake that is beneath it, and the snake must give up its nature. There has to be sacrifice in order for that third way, that way of peace, that way of righteousness to exist. And so today we have lit the peace candle. And yes, peace is the absence of violence, but it is so much more. Peace is the presence of God that allows us to make peace not only with our enemies, but with ourselves. Peace is that presence that is within us that allows us to make peace with the warring parts of ourselves, the warring parts that are in conflict with one another, our sort of nature of sometimes choosing to be off the mark of what God has called us to do, and that nature of us that we were created to be good and in God's image. We are no longer having to be at war with one another, because in Jesus we have peace. And so today, you and I are invited in this Advent season, this beautiful season of anticipation. waiting and longing for the coming of Jesus. To recognize that when Jesus comes into our midst, peace reigns. That when Jesus comes among us, that hope and peace begin to move forward against the darkness. And we begin to see the peaceable kingdom take shape among us and in our midst. I pray that on this day, you ask and you be open to that peaceful, wonderful kingdom of God that lets go of vengeance with our enemies and with our past and moves into a way of sacrificial living, where God's life reigns supreme. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this wonderful description of your peace. And we are especially grateful that in the person of Jesus Christ, we find another way, a way of sacrifice, a way of letting go of our pride, a way of letting go of our righteousness, a way of letting go of our certitude of the right way to live life, and allows us to open up to your way, to your peace, to your hope. We pray that in each and every one of us, your peace would begin to pierce into the armor that we build up to prevent your love from spreading into us and out among the world in which we live. We pray that your peace would pierce the armor of protection that we've built up because of hurts and wrongs that have been done to us. And we pray instead that we would live in your peace and in your grace. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.